I'm going to open us in a word of prayer.
Gracious Father, thank you so much for your Passion Week. Just a reminder of the events of all that Christ went through for us. Father, as we just come in respectful contemplation of all that Jesus did for us, help us to be yielding and open and reminded of your great love. And we pray all these things and ask that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Tonight we celebrate the anniversary of the Lord's Supper. When Jesus met with his disciples for the Passover meal in the upper room some 2,000 years ago, he broke the bread and shared the cup of wine with them for the last time before his ordeal on the cross. The Passover meal traditionally has reminded the people of Israel of God's love for them when he freed them from their bondage in Egypt. When Jesus spoke of the bread as his body broken for his disciples, and the wine as his blood poured out for them, he made the traditional Passover meal into a holy moment, a moment to be symbolically relived by his disciples from that day forward. Tonight, we remember his words, "For as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus transformed his last Passover meal with his disciples into the first Lord's Supper for us. As we now retell the story through scripture and dramatic recreation, may we experience anew and in a most personal way the wonder of that last supper Jesus held with his disciples. May we experience again our personal deliverance from the bondage and sin of this world. May we be reminded anew of God's love for us when he gave his only son to die for our sins. So, tonight, come with us to that most sacred of times and places. If you are able to please stand, and at least every other spot under your seats is a hymnal, we're going to please rise and sing number 177, "What Wondrous Love Is This?"
Oh, my soul, oh, my soul. evening and welcome. Welcome to my house in Jerusalem. What I'm about to tell you now isn't my story, but in rather is the story of one whom I have come to know and cherish over these last several years and have followed closely with him. You know him as Jesus of Nazareth. For me, he was my teacher, my Lord, and my master. I was privileged to be one of his followers. Now, I wasn't one of the 12, the inner circle, but I was one of a number called the Company of the 70. We were with him at various times throughout his ministry. He even gave us the opportunity one time to go out two by two into the neighboring villages, proclaiming the good news and given the ability to heal in his name. My story begins on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Two of the disciples came to my house and they told me, "The teacher wishes to keep the Passover here in my house." It was in my very upper room, in fact, where they had that special meal. It was in my home that Jesus ate his last Passover meal with his disciples. "Look, even now the guests are coming. There's Andrew."
"My name is Andrew. I was fortunate to be at the River Jordan when Jesus came to John the Baptizer. Somehow I knew he was different. When I heard Jesus speak, I knew that he was the Messiah for which we had long awaited. I have devoted my life to following him and bringing others to hear him speak. And if you recall, it was I who brought the little boy with the loaves and fishes to the master, but my greatest joy was bringing my brother Simon Peter to Jesus. He has become an unofficial leader among us, and he will be along shortly."
"Now James and John."
"I am James, the elder son of Zebedee. I remember so well that day by the sea when Jesus came to us. My brother John, my father, and I were mending nets when Jesus came to us. He spoke quietly to us of the work that needed to be done. Then he beckoned us to follow him and become fishers of men. Can you believe it? We did. We left our nets straight away and followed him. Brother John has become a favorite with the master. He loves John's eagerness and bravery and the love of life. I believe the master almost regards him as a brother."
"Thank you for the compliment, Brother James. I remember when we were younger, you weren't so free with your compliments. Are we not the sons of Zebedee, known throughout the community as the sons of thunder? Brother, I remember with shame how our supreme vanity we thought to be greatest in the new kingdom Jesus talked about. We even asked our mother to intercede for us. What an uproar it caused among the others. Jesus only looked at us and said something that we have pondered about. He said that we didn't understand what we were asking. He asked us, 'Are you able to drink of the cup which I shall drink?' Then he said that we will indeed drink his cup, but that it was not his place to say who would sit at his right hand or at his left hand. That decision is only made by the Father. I don't fully understand, but there is one thing I know for sure. Despite our faults, Jesus loves us and forgives our foolish notions and our vanity."
"And look, now are coming Jude, also known as Thaddeus, James the Less, and Philip."
"I am Jude, although some call me Thaddeus, and this is my brother James, the lesser. We are cousins of Jesus. When we were growing up, we didn't realize how special our cousin was, but he seemed different somehow. Even as a boy, Jesus spoke in the temple as if he was one of the elders. I remember his parents, Mary and Joseph, were astounded to find the old man listening to him and questioning him as if he were an equal. His teachings these last 3 years have given new meaning to my life. When Jesus told us the parable of the rich man, I realized that our struggle for material things of this world is not worth much. From that moment on, I vowed not to let such things come between me and my Lord.
That was a long speech, even for you. My name is James, James the Lesser. I'm known as James the Less because I am younger than James, the brother of John. Throughout my life, I obeyed all laws of the church and the land. I like things neat and orderly. Law brings order, and our lives need more order in this chaotic world we live in. I've always followed the old ways, but Jesus has taught us a way that gives new power, powerful meaning to the old laws. He has given us a new order for our lives. And my dear brother is truly like the man in Jesus' stories, the man who lays up treasure in heaven and not on earth.
I am Philip of Bethsaida. Andrew, Peter, and I grew up together, but I went away to study with scholars in Greece. When I returned and first met Jesus, his words started a fire within me. I, along with Andrew, was one of the first to follow him. One thing that was different about Jesus, he treated Gentiles as well as Jews, as if they were equal in God's sight. Thus, many Gentiles were among the crowds that followed Jesus. Since I speak Greek fluently, I often work with these foreigners who come to hear Jesus speak and seek his healing. I have watched Jesus perform miracles and have even helped cast out unclean spirits, although I must confess I don't know how. But now, my passion is healing others.
And look, here come Thomas, Nathaniel, and Matthew. Shalom, my brothers.
I am Nathaniel. One day I was sitting under a fig tree when Philip rushed up. He's always in a rush. He bodily hauled me to my feet, shouting that he had seen the Messiah, a carpenter out of Nazareth. Can you believe that? To put Philip in his place, I posed this question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But even that didn't dampen his enthusiasm. He persuaded me to go with him to hear and see Jesus. You know, I believe Philip may be right. Jesus may truly be the Messiah for which we have long awaited.
You may well be right, my friends. Sometimes I truly believe it, and other times I have my doubts. My friends tease me and call me Thomas the Doubter. I'm always asking questions and wanting answers to everything. It is hard for me to accept anything on faith alone. I want something tangible that I can see and touch. I always want proof. Once I see proof, then I can believe. Now tell me, am I really so different from any of you? Jesus, however, has said that even faith as tiny as a mustard seed can move mountains. But can faith overcome this imperfect world and make it better? I wonder.
I'm the one they call Matthew, or at least that's what they call me now. My name was Levi.
You've heard of me?
Yes, exactly. I was the tax collector here. I made a fine living, a very fine living, out of squeezing people out of their money. I was hated and despised not only for that, but because I, a Jew, worked for the Romans. No one hated me more than Peter. He and his crew would be out fishing, come in with a really nice catch. That meant I was going home with a fat purse that night. One day, though, that all changed. I met Jesus. He spoke to me kindly, treated me with respect, even wanted to come to my home and share a meal with me and my friends. Peter and the other disciples begged him not to, but he came anyway. That forever changed my life as well as my name. I follow him faithfully now.
And look, over there, Peter, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. Welcome, my brothers.
Yes, Matthew, it is no secret. I once hated you. I've always been a stubborn, hot-headed fool. For a long time, I refused to go with Andrew to hear Jesus. My brother finally nagged me into going, and then I couldn't stop. Something about Jesus kept pulling me to him even when I tried to resist. Jesus changed my life and my name just as he changed Matthew's. I was born Simon, son of Jonah. One time when we were gathered in the hills, Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say I am?" I listened while others ventured names. Some said Elijah the prophet, others said John the Baptizer, but the growing conviction within suddenly burst forth from my lips, and I said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Then Jesus told me my name from then on would be Peter. Jesus said that I would be the rock on which he would build his church. But this much I know, I will never forsake him, and I'll always be at his side and be the rock he expects me to be.
I'm known as Simon the Zealot. I was a member of the Zealots, a band of men who fought against the oppression of our people by Rome. We lived in the hills and we attacked our oppressors when they least expected it, killing as many as we could. My goal was freedom for our people. We hoped and prayed that the Messiah would come and lead us. We would be the Messiah's army. Then one day, I met Jesus. He was not what I expected. He taught me we just turn the other cheek and achieve freedom through loving others, our enemies as well as our neighbors. I was so profoundly moved by Jesus' words that I renounced my fellow zealots, and I joined Jesus' followers. Someday, somehow, Jesus will use his great powers to overthrow Rome and bring us a new kingdom. I feel certain of this. I don't know how he will do it without some violence, but I'm certain the new kingdom will come.
My name is Judas Iscariot. I was flattered when Jesus recruited me. He knew I was good at making arrangements and bartering for the best prices on goods and services, so he asked me to keep the common purse for his followers. It hasn't been easy. We rarely have much money in it. But I've been a good steward and managed it carefully. We still have enough to meet our needs and still have some to give to the poor. Like Simon the Zealot, I believe that Jesus will use his power to overthrow the Romans and free us. But I must confess, like Thomas, I'm beginning to have my doubts. Maybe Jesus needs to be forced into the right situation in order to unleash his powers. I believe I may have arranged that.
Ah, friends, look! Here comes Jesus, our Lord.
Shalom.
Shalom,
my friends. Come, let us go to the upper room.
Now before the supper, Jesus took up a towel, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and then to wipe them with a towel.
Master, are you going to wash my feet?
You do not know what I am doing, but soon you will understand.
Oh, Master. Master, now you can't wash my feet as a common servant would.
Peter, be still. Unless I wash your feet, you will have no part of me.
Lord, if you must wash my feet, wash my hands and my head as well.
One who has bathed is already clean and does not need to wash, except for the feet, which are dusty from the journey.
After Jesus had washed their feet, he laid aside the towel in the basin and returned to his place at the table. Then he began to teach them.
Do you know what I have done to you? If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Very truly, I tell you, those who humble themselves as servants are to be blessed. Help those in need. Do good to those who hurt you. Be merciful and peacemakers. You shall be known as the children of God.
Now, as they were eating, Jesus then said to them,
Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me.
The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. And then they began to once to ask.
It is one of the 12, one who dips his bread into the cup with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man not to have been born.
Then John, the beloved disciple, asked him,
Lord, who is it?
It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the cup.
Surely you don't think I would betray you, Master.
You have said so. Judas, do quickly what you are going to do.
Jesus then spoke to the disciples of his desire to eat this particular Passover feast with them before his suffering commenced. He tells them that he will not eat it again until his mission is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. They are concerned, of course, not fully knowing the implication of his words. Much like the disciples had a choice those many years ago, we also have a choice, an important decision to make. Will we stay by his side or will we leave him when the going gets tough? If you had been in Jerusalem that day, what would you have done?
Would I have left my Savior's side, or would I stay?
as Jesus ate with his disciples, so we all will also partake with him. Tonight we have the blessed opportunity. The disciples will distribute the elements of communion. We ask that you hold on to them so that we can all partake together. In a moment, we will all partake in this upper room communion to remember and to honor Jesus Christ and his ultimate sacrifice for us. Now, in order to prepare our hearts to receive these elements in a worthy manner, I'd ask you to bow with me as we pray this prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that often we have failed to be obedient to your will. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved others as ourselves. We have doubted you, and our faith has wavered. We have not heard the cry of those who need us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. May we recognize in these elements the body and blood of our Savior, which he freely gave for our salvation. Free our minds, Lord, for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. Amen.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love and the love of my Father who is in heaven. Now I give you a new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples.
When the supper was finished, Jesus rose and took a piece of the unleavened bread from the table. Then he did something he had never done before. He broke the bread and passed it to his disciples with these words.
Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you.
After the disciples had partaken of the bread, he took the cup in front of him and blessed it, and then gave it to them, saying,
"This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink." The hour is coming when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me. I tell you this so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will face persecution, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
From there, Jesus led his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, where, being deeply troubled, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I wish, but as you will." Three times he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping instead of praying. As he was arousing them the third time, they saw Judas coming with a large mob armed with swords and clubs. Judas' betrayal set in motion a series of events, climaxing the next day in the crucifixion of our dear Lord.
Shadows of the night, as I followed them in fear, my heart was filled with anguish, and my eyes were filled with tears. Helpless and alone, all my dreams had taken flight. I watched as they mocked my Savior. In the shadows of shine through the message became clear to me. In the shadows of the
I know that when we witness a dramatic interpretation like that, we want to clap, but actually it wouldn't be a good idea to do that, only from the aspect that it's a very sobering portrayal of the last events of Christ with the disciples. And certainly, you know, as they went off into the garden, Jesus' words keep coming back to me, not my will, but thine. Some have said that Jesus won the victory for our sins at that cross, in the garden when he said those words. I'd rather die for you. As we leave here tonight, it's just our prayer that we would continue to have this thought as we walk out. We go into what is called Good Friday tomorrow. We just want to invite you to a self-reflective, interactive prayer time from noon tomorrow to 5 o'clock. Our church is going to be open, and you'll be greeted as you come in the door, and you'll be given a pamphlet, and everybody gets the pamphlet, and you'll be asked to follow, come into the auditorium, and there'll be 7 stations around the auditorium at different places, and you just follow them in order as you read the pamphlet yourself. You pray, and there are going to be different stations that represent what Jesus did for us while he was on the cross. And then as you work your way through, you can leave quietly. There are moments where you can just sit contemplatively and pray. But we just want you to take advantage of that exercise, because it reminds us of the 7 words of Christ on the cross and what he was saying for us. And it's hard to find a favorite set of words when all those words are so important to us. But go forth tonight, especially with thanks in our very personal way for the fellas for having the boldness to be able to get up and portray some of those disciples. A lot of those disciples we don't think of, but there's so much complexity underneath it all. And we find ourselves somewhere in those disciples. And so I am just thankful that God thought of all of us when he died for us. So as we go forth into this weekend, take the time to be praying and asking the Lord, why? Why me? One of my favorite artist portrayals is actually in my office on the wall. And it's a picture of Christ, and he's standing there, and he's holding a person up, and in his left hand is a nail, and his right hand is the hammer. And you just get the idea of, you know, I'm the one who put him there. I'm the one who nailed him to the tree because of my sins. And yet Christ, and you can see the scars in his hands, is holding him up. And in the same way, I'm just so thankful for the Lord, for our salvation, and for what he has done for us. So may God bless our evening as we go. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the depiction of all that we have received in Christ. I'm so thankful, Father, for the hymn that says, wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. So Father, help us to go with a sober heart, with a thankful heart, and with a heart of faith, that we put our faith and trust in what Christ has done for us, truly thankful that he paid for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then join us on Sunday morning when we have our sunrise service out here at 7:30 in the morning. Because it's more than just him dying on the cross. He raises again to life. So we look forward to that wonderful, blessed celebration. You're dismissed.